The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Metzia Daf Pei, and we will begin from the Mishnah, the top of Daf Pei, Omid Aleph. Talk to Mishnah. Asecher es ha-paro, if somebody rents a paro, lachroish paha, and the agreement that the renter had with the owner of the paro was that he was going to use it to plow, but specifically on a mountain. The charash bebiko, he violated the terms of his agreement, and instead he plowed in a valley in Nishbara Kankan. If the blade of the plow broke while he was plowing, potter the loch is his potter. And the chiddush is that even though the soicher violated the terms of his agreement, and as a result, you would think that maybe he's a posheya. So that in Nishbara Kankan, even if ordinarily he shouldn't be potter or shouldn't be chayiv, here maybe he should be chayiv, still the Mishnah says that halacha is that you're going to be potter. And the reason is because we assume that if the blade broke while he was plowing in a bika, it certainly would have broken had he been plowing in a har, because a har is a rougher terrain than is a bika. As a result, despite the fact that he violated the terms of his agreement, but he did it in a way that technically should have been less of a pshia, not more of a pshia, and that's why the halacha is he's potter. It's for that reason that in the reverse case it'd be chayiv. But bika, if you rented the parah specifically to be chayrish and a bika, v'charash bahar, and nishbar kankan, there the halacha is chayiv, because again, he violated the terms of his agreement, and he did it in a way where now it's more vulnerable for something to break. Lodosh bekitnes, if somebody is soicher a parah to thresh specifically kitnes, beans, v'dosh betfuah, and it said he was dosh betfuah, and while the animal was doing that, the animal slipped and was damaged. The halacha is potter. Lodosh betfuah, v'dosh bekitnes, if it was in the verse, he rented the parah to be dosh tfuah, and instead he was dosh kitnes. There the halacha is chayiv nesha kitnes mechalekes. Kitnes is considered to be more slippery than tfuah is. As a result, it's considered a pshia. If it's a pshia, you're going to be chayiv. Sak to gemar. Heichad leshani ba, not mishalim. What about a regular case? Not a case of a maskir and a seicher. I am b'rishonim that explain the technicalities of what the gemara is saying. But just to keep it simple, a case where somebody owns a parah, he owns a plow with a kankan, and he hires employees to work it, and then while they're working it, something happens. The assumption is that the workers are going to be chayiv. The way Rashi explains the Gemara, man mishalim, the Gemara wants to know which one of the workers is going to be chayiv. So apparently there was one worker that would actually work the plow, and then there was another one that was directing him. He was navigating him. He was telling him exactly where to go. So is the one that's actually operating the plow, is he the one that's considered the responsible party? Or is the one that's navigating, is he the one that's considered the responsible party? Rapapa said as follows. The nokat perosha mishalim. The one that's going to be responsible is the leader. So the one that's navigating, he's the one that's going to be chay rav shesha b'rei d'ravidi yomer. The nokat mona mishalim. No, the one that's actually holding on to the keli, he's holding on to the plow, he's going to be chayiv. The Gemara says, "V'hilchas of the nakat mana mishalim." The one that's chayiv is the one that's holding the mana. However, v'idukta the michseko gunderi. If the place where the workers were using this plow was a mountainous place, it's a place that's very rocky, there's stones there, there the halachi is travayu mishalman. They're both going to be responsible to pay. And at first glance, it seems like a very technical Gemara, not so halacha l'maisa, not so much lamdis. Stating that, if you take a look in Rashi and Tosfos, it's clear that this Gemara, although at face value, is maybe technical, but it's certainly a pathway to a more lamdish discussion. And that is, Rashi says, the reason that halacha is that if you're in a duchta de Mexico gundari, you're in a rocky, rough place, that halacha is travayu mishalmin, says Rashi, because it's a dover hamutal besafik, because we don't really know in this case who the one that's responsible. So apparently in a regular terrain, it would be more obvious who's responsible, albeit a machlekes on meiroyim, whether we look at the one that's operating it as being the responsible one, or the one that's navigating be the responsible one. But when you're in this type of terrain, it's not clear. And there's no opinions. And being that it's not clear, it's Maman HaMutah B'Safik. If it's Maman HaMutah B'Safik, that's what Allah is Travayim Mashalman. At first glance, Rashi seems to be quoting a often quoted sheet in Shas. And that's Sumchis, who says that Maman HaMutah B'Safik, Cholkim B'Lo Yishvun. That's the way Tosfos understood Rashi. But Tosfos says, Ve'ei Nira, Dolekai Milon K'Sumchis, Elik Rabbanon. We don't paskin like Sumchis, we paskin like the Rabbanon. We paskin, HaMritzi Mechaveri, all of it right. What's Rashi and Tosfos referring to? They're referring to the first Mishnah in Perek Shor Shanogah Chasaporah, and we're going to have it soon in a few weeks. In Perek Hashoyel, Hamachlif, Parah V'Chamar, where the Mishnah in Shor Shenogeh Chasaparah is Shor Shenogeh Chasaparah, Shor Shtois Taparah. So there's a dead parah and there's also a dead uber on the side of the parah. In Yadua, and it wasn't clear. The question was, when was the parah killed? Was the parah killed after it had already given birth to this Ubra? In which case, the Shor Shenogeh had nothing to do with killing the Ubra, so the Baal HaShor wouldn't be responsible for the death of the Ubra. Or no, maybe do we have to assume that Mishenokhoyolda, maybe the Negicha itself that killed the parah also killed the Ubra? So what's the Halacha? It's a Machloikis in the Mishnah. The Tana in the Mishnah says that it's that Yachloik. And the Gemara said, "Am Rav Yudah Mashmul Zudevrei Sumchis." This Mishnah is going according to Sumchis that holds Maman Amutah B'Safik Chalki. Avu Chachamim Ma'irim, but the Chachamim argue, and the Chachamim say, "Is that Klal Gadol B'Din Hamritzim Mechaveri all over right?" In other words, you have a Maman Amutah B'Safik. We have no idea. No one in the world knows. Did the Shor kill the Uber, or did the Shor not kill the Uber? If the Shor killed the Uber, the Baal HaShor is chayiv. If the Shor didn't kill the Uber, the Baal HaShor is not going to chayiv. The Mishnah says Yachloik, who says the Gemara, because the Mishnah Sumchis, who holds that Mamon HaMutal B'Safik Cholkin B'Lei Shvuah. If you don't know, so Yachloiku. So there's a Safik, if the Baal HaShor is chayiv, he'll pay half. But the Chachamim argue, and the Chachamim say, Zeh Klal Gadol B'Din, HaMoitzim Mechaveri Olav Arayit. And we, of course, paskin like that Klal Gadol B'Din. We paskin HaMoitzim Mechaveri Olav Arayit. It's a freak to Sakash on Rashi. How could you, Rashi, say that the reason both of the employees are going to be chayiv? It's because we have a suffix. Which one of them was more responsible for the plow that broke? Is it the operator or is it the navigator? As a result, it's a Maman HaMutah B'Safik. And what's the rule, says Rashi, with Maman HaMutah B'Safik? Travayu Mishalman, they split the baby. Yachloiku. That's all Sumchis. But the Chachamim hold HaMoitzim Mechaveri all of a raya. So we should apply that idea of HaMoitzim Mechaveri all of a raya, and we should say that they're both not responsible. Because being that it's a Safik, how could you be Teveya each one? It's a Maman HaMutah B'Safik. Just like you can't be Teveya the Baal HaShor Chatzi when it's Nimtza Umpre B'Tzida, how could you be Teveya any one of these people Chatzi, being that it's a Maman HaMutah B'Safik? As I freak Tosfos, the K'tzois in Simen Shin Pei Gimel brings Tosfos Kasha, and the Tzoy says that from this sugya, from Tosfos Kasha, I believe I have a makar to a similarly difficult Shittas HaRambam. The Rambam, which is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, it's in Shin Pei Gimel, Sivkot and Dalet, is discussing a sugya in Arba Oves Nezikin, Daf Yud, a well-known Gemara. The Gemara there discussed that there were five people that put chavilois on top of a behema, and the behema didn't die. Ubo Zeh HaAchri, and then a sixth person came, and he put his chavila, and it died. The Gemara gives a similar case where people were sitting on a bench, and then somebody else came. The Gemara mentions it was one particularly heavy person. But either way, the Gemara over there discusses where if five people did something, nothing happened, and now this is the straw that broke the camel's back. And the question is, how in the world do you judge it? So it's a whole halacha in Shulchan Aruch based on the sugi bava kama daf yud. And the Rambam says on his own, then in your dua, let's say we don't know. There's no way in the world to know which one of these bundles actually caused the animal to die. Says the Rambam, kula mishalman b'shal. They all have to pay equally, says the Ktzois. At first glance, Ikula Medak. At first glance, this Ktzois, this Rambam, would seem to be Tamua. Because to the extent that we don't know, what you left with is a Maman HaMutah B'Safik. And Maman HaMutah B'Safik, we paskin like the Chachamim, Zek Klal Gadol B'Din, HaMoitzim Mechaveri Olav Araya. So how could the Rambam paskin, Kula Mishalm B'Shova? Doesn't it make more sense to say, HaMoitzim Mechaveri Olav Araya? V'Nira says the Ktzois, that Rambam Yesh Lo Yiraya Lo Zeh, Mimada Amur B'Peraka Umnim, Daf Peyam and Aleph, Halacha we just learned. Heichid Olay Shani Ba Ma Mishalim, Amur HaPapa Denokat Prosho, V'Ituchti De Machsiki Gunderi, Ar Gemara Travayu Mishalmin. And Rashi says the reason is because it's a Maman HaMutah B'Safik. Says the Ktzois, it's a very similar shayla. We have two people that each one of which may have caused damage, we don't know which one is the one. The halach is travayu mishalman. So just like travayu mishalman in our sugya, so too over there, where five people did something, and we're not sure which one of the five actually caused the damage, they're going to have to split it in five, and each one is going to have to pay. The halach is going to be mamana mutu besafik chalkin. A bezok diktois, I tois was kasha. Tois was said, we paskin like the chacham, and we don't paskin like sumchis. So tois says diktois, you have to say that it's not always the case, that sometimes we do paskin like sumchis. Meaning, it's not pshat that the chachamim don't agree with the concept of mamon amuta v'safik chalkim alei shvuos. It's a very important size. The chachamim agree to the concept of mamon amuta v'safik. It exists in their shulchan aruch. Whereas Sumchis applies it to all cases of Safik, Shoshanagach Zapara, Machlev Parvachamar, some of the festive sugis in Shas. The Chachamim say that's not always the case. Sometimes Amoitze Mechaveri all of a right, but sometimes Mamon Amuta v'safik. Now, when do you say and when do you say Mamna Muta Besafik? So that already the Tzais doesn't go into. But you have to, no, you'd have to sit down and figure it out. But the point is that the concept of Mamna Muta Besafik does exist in the Shulchan Aruch of the Chachamim. That's the Pshat in our Sugi over here, Bav Mitzia Daf Pei. That's Pshat in the Rambam's Psak, based on the Sugi in Bava Kama Daf Yud. In the end, the Tzais says that it's really Mefurisha Tosfos in Bava Basra, Daf Samach Bezim and Bez. Nice Tosfos that you want to take a look there, where Tosfos says mefurish that even though the Chachamim argued with Sumchis, but there are times that they agree mamon amuta besafik chalkim alei shvuah. What's interesting, however, the Tosfos says is that Tosfos adds one thing. Tosfos says that it's true the Chachamim agree conceptually that sometimes mamon amuta besafik chalkim. However, ein l'chabay el chidusha. So wherever we have a mefurisha sugi and shas, where it's mashma that the halach is yachloike b'lo yishvua by mamon amuta besafik, even according to Chachamim, that's what the psak halach is going to be. But you can never apply it to your own svara or your own sugya. So the Ktzai says that bavak mitziya da peyam an aleph, it's a mefurisha sugya. Tais over there was discussing a sugya above a basra daf samach beis, that's also a mefurisha sugya. But the Rambam, who wanted a shtel tzu, this concept, on his own, to the sugya Bava Kama Daf Yud, where the Hei Chavilois, according to the way Tosfos and Bava Basra worded it, that it's only true wherever the Chachamim were megala to us specifically that that's the halacha, but you don't have a right to go apply it anywhere else. So based on that, the halacha would not be true in Bava Kama. So the Ktzais leaves off with a little bit of a kasha on the Rambam. Either way, some interesting raid. You wouldn't expect it right there on this very technical Gemara, but it's true, this goes to the gut of the sugyas of Sfeikis, which are really from the sugyas chamurois in Shas. Amar Rabbi Yochanan and another halacha, if somebody sells a par lechaveir, then he told him parazu nakchanes. So, person's buying a para, says, can you tell me a little bit about your para? So he tells him, yeah, he's a good para, but there's just a few things I'd look out for. Number one, he's a nakchan. He shtoises sometimes with his horns, right? Negichas Karen, that's Bava Kama Daf Bey's fame. Nashchanes, also it bites. Batanasi, it kicks. Ravtsan is sometimes it'll just sit down on you or on one of your kalim out of the blue and it's going to damage it. These were all the toldas of Karen in the beginning of Masechtas Bava Kama. Other than that, it's wonderful. It's really nice. Anyways, he takes it home or he inspects it before he takes it home and he saw that one of the mumin that the owner mentioned, it in fact did have. V'sonfei bein amumin. Hareza mekachtois. So amazingly, the Lukeach can go back to the Moicher and he can tell him that Mekachtois, I didn't realize that it had the Mumin that you told me it had. I want my money back. Now, first glance, you tell me, it makes no sense. The Moicher told him specifically. It's a Nakchonis, it's a Nashchonis, it's a Batonis, it's a Raftsonis. It has all these Chisroinis. And he inspected it and it had only one of them. So, if you agree for four, shouldn't you agree to one? The answer is yes. It's counterintuitive. Because when this person looked at the animal, he didn't see that it's a nashchonis. He didn't see it's a batonis. So what he then thought was that it could be this person was just pulling his leg. And he wasn't really being honest with him. So he assumed that just like it didn't have three out of the four, it probably didn't have the fourth either. So now that he comes home and he sees that it does have the fourth, he has a right to back out. Mum ze umumachar. What if he told him it has one of these mumim? He told him it's a nashchonis, and it has another mum. He didn't tell him what the other mum was. And the person bought it. And then he came home and he found that it was in fact an atchonis. Then he can't get his money back. Because he didn't tell him specifically another mum, which we found out later it didn't have. So when he told him specifically, nakchonis, nashchonis, and he saw that it's not a nashchonis, so then he could say that I also thought it wasn't an akonis, but when he didn't specify the other mum, then you don't have the taina mekachtos. Taina nami hachi. So this was all a statement that Rabbi Yochanan made, and the Gemara says what Rabbi Yochanan said is in fact number four is a brisa. A moicha shivcha. If somebody sells a shivcha lechaveiro, if then he told me shivcha zu. This shivcha shoyte. It's not so smart. Nichvesi. She suffers from epilepsy. Mishum memesi. She's a bissel tefidot. The hoya pomo mechad. And he came home and he found one of the mumin. The son fei ben a mumin. I raise a mekachtos. He could taina mekachtos. Why? Because he could say, I know the moicha told it to me, but I realized she wasn't a shoyta. I realized she wasn't a nichves. I assumed she's not a mishum memes either. Now that she's a mishum memes, I'm not interested. Mum ze umamachar, but what if you worded it the same way it was worded in Rabbi Yechonon's case? It has one mum, let's say, shaitahi, and there's another mum, but the owner did not specify what the other mum was. Ein ze mekachtos. Amalei Rav Acha, Rei de Rav Acha, Rav Ashi. Hoi ba kala mumim halalu mau. What if it had all the mumim? What's the halacha over there? What's the shaila? The shaila is kudu lekeach say, I know you mentioned a bunch of mumim, but I never assumed that it's possible to have one animal that's a mu'id for all these different things, that it has all these chesroinus. I assume you're probably listing different risks that I have to be aware of. These are the risk factors. You should know when you buy a para, it could be a nashchonis, it could be a, but this para that I bought, ichabarangafalon, that it has all these milas, I never assumed that. Is that a reasonable taina that the lekeach could say? Amalei Rav Mordechai, Rav Ashi, Hachemina Meshmei Derava, Hoya Bakala Mu Malolo Enza Mekachtois. No, that's already a shlacha taina. So if the Moicher told you that it has all these chesroinus, and it did have all the chesroinus, then it's not a taina. If he told you it has all the chesroinus, only had one of the chesroinus, but some of the things he told you it has, it specifically didn't have. So now you have a basis for your taina. I thought just like it didn't have this chesroin, it didn't have this chesroin either. But if it had all the chesroinus, you don't have that koicha taina. To say that I didn't think it's possible for one animal to have all these chesroinus, the owner told it to me. He was just telling me possibilities that animals could have, but not that they actually do have, that's not already a good time. Another halacha. Somebody rented a chamor, and the purpose, the agreement between the soicher and the masker was that he's going to use it to carry wheat. And instead he carried sa'oirin. The halacha is chayef. We're going to see in the Gemara, machlokes is abayi v'rova, exactly how to understand the Mishnah, but the general concept is that sa'oirin is lighter in weight than chitin. So the soicher had rented the chamar to carry a certain measurement of chitin. He decided instead to carry soirim. But being that soirim is lighter, he figured, well, if I'm allowed to use this measurement X of chitin, let me add soirim to where it will weigh the equivalent of measurement X of chitin. So it's ultimately not going to weigh more than what he had rented the chamar for. But in terms of volume, he added the volume. So the idea was it was going to be a certain volume of chitin. He's going to add more volume of soirin to get it closer to the weight of chitin. So as far as weight goes, it's shava b'shavas. And his wife doesn't think he's doing anything wrong. Dalach is chayef. Tfuah, maybe a little tevin. Chayef, same exact concept with tfuah and tevin. Again, tfuah is heavier than tevin. So he added tevin. Dalach is yechav nesha nefech kosher kemasoi. Because when a masker rents out his chamar, he's not only sensitive to the weight that you're going to put on the chamar, he's sensitive to the volume as well. So when he agreed to a certain volume of chitin, in his mind, the weight was important. Maybe that's how he came up with the volume. But the volume was important in and of itself. So if you're going to say that sa'irim is lighter, so I'm going to add more sa'irim, volume-wise, even though it's not going to be more weight, in that case, you're still going to be chayv. Let's say he rented a chamar to carry to schlep a lesach of chitin, and instead he brought a lesach of sa'irin. Dalogas is pot. Because over there, you didn't add anything, you're going to be pot. If you add it, chayef, how much do you have to add in order to be chayef? If it's a gomel, it's a sa. If it's a chamor, it's three kabin. It's based really on what the usual and customary understanding was, how much a chamor or a gomel could carry, and this addition, the sala gomel, the shleisha kabin chamor, represents 1/30th of an increase. And incidentally, if you go through this gemara properly, you have to get involved really in lesechs and saws and kabins and kores. you have to pull out the cheat sheet and go through some of the technical measurements, but we're going to try to avoid it for now. Either way, so we had over here a Mishnah that's a little bit ambiguous, and when you have an ambiguous Mishnah, you know you're going to have a machloikis amayra, and over here we have a machloikis abaya v'rav. Itmar abaya amar kosher k'maso itnan. Rava amar kosher lin maso itnan. So it was a machloikis abaya v'rav, what the right girsa in the Mishnah was. Again, referring to the first case of the Mishnah. So, Sa'irin is lighter than Chitin. He added Sa'irin to the volume of chitin that he had agreed to put on the chamor. The halacha is your chayv, neisha hanefech. The volume is kosher kimasoi, according to Abaya, limasoi, according to Rav. Abaya, I'm a kosher kimasoi. Tanan Abaya said it's kosher kimasoi, nafcha kitaklo. The reason is because Abaya holds that volume is important, just like weight is important. So when you agree to a certain volume of chitin, you're agreeing not to add any volume of anything, be it chitin or be it soyer. You're also agreeing not to add weight. So the moment you add even a little bit of soyerin, that's enough. What's that little bit? 1/30th, like we saw at the end of the Mishnah. As long as you add even a little bit of soyerin, even though it's going to still weigh less than the chitin, it doesn't matter. The volume is as important. And that's the emphasis of the Mishnah, that it's kosher kim masoy. Masoy would be the weight. Just like the masoy is important, the nefech is kosher kim masoy. The volume is equally as important. Rava argued. Rava said kosher le masoy tan. No, it means something else. Taklo ki taklo, v'nafcho havi tosefes. That if you would add chitin, but the weight of the, add soirin, but the weight of the soirin would be less than the weight of the chitin, even though the volume is more, you wouldn't be chayev. Because really, the weight is what matters. But the reason you're chayev in the Mishnah is because you did it in a way where it weighed the same amount, but being that soirin is lighter, there was more soirin than there would have been chitin had you stuck to your arrangement, and it's for that reason you're going to be chayev. In other words, machloekes abaya v'rav, it's very technical, but you have to get it. According to Abaya, if you add soirin to the volume of chitin that you had agreed to, do you agree to a certain volume of chitin? You do that exact volume of soirin, but you add a little bit. Even if it weighs less than the chitin that you had agreed to put on the chamar, still you're going to be chayef. Because nafcha kimasai, volume, weight, they're both equally as important. They can both hurt the chamar in the same way. So if I agree to a certain volume and a certain weight, I have to stick to the volume and to the weight. I just think if I would add weight, I would be chayev if something happened to the chamar. If I add volume, I'm going to be chayev if something happens to the chamar. According to Rav, it's not true. According to Rav, volume in and of itself doesn't bother me. So if I add volume, but I'm still within the, but I'm under the weight that I had agreed to, I'm going to be potter. The only time volume bothers me is when it's the same weight. So if I would add enough soirin to where it would weigh exactly what the chitin weighs, and there's more volume of soirin, why? Because soirin is lighter, so memela, that's the way it is. It's in that case, I'm going to be chayev. So we learned in our Mishnah, lohavi less chitin, lohavi less soirin potter. But if you add it, on the masoy, you can be chayv. My love, shloishes kabin. When you say you added, isn't it mashmi? Even if you added shloishes kabin, like 1/30th, why does the Gemara assume that? Because that was the end of the Mishnah. Vakama Yosef al masoy v'yechayev sum chosayim mishum rameir sol legomel shloishes kabin lechamor. So even if you added just a little bit shloishes kabin, you're going to be chayev. So that it's a raya to Abaya, that even though by adding 1/30th of soirin, you're not going to weigh the same amount as chitin. Again, we're not farmers. We're not familiar exactly what the ratio of weight is between chitin and soirin. But the Mishnah, the Gemara is saying that if you add this small shear of soirin, the chitin is still going to weigh more. And the Mishnah's mashmi, you're going to be chayev. So it's a raya to Abaya. As long as you add volume, 1/30th, even if it doesn't weigh the same as the chitin, still you're going to be chayev. The Gemara says, loisa. It's talking about you added a more significant amount. I have a lok tani, but that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah concluded, v'kama yosef al masoy v'yechayev, sum chosayim yimshum ramei esol, l'gomel shoyshu kama l'kamot. So the Gemara says, hachi kama. The way Rav is going to read the Mishnah is differently. Heichot loishani chitin, v'hevi chitin, soirin, v'hevi soirin, kama yosef al masoy v'yechayev. The Mishnah over there is not discussing where instead of chitin you added soirin. It's talking about where the agreement was chitin and you brought chitin. The agreement was soirin and you brought soirin. But you just added a little bit more what was understood. So there, that looks, you could add a drop more. That's the last line of the Mishnah. How much do you have to add in order to be chayiv? Meaning at what point, if it was chitin, maybe chitin, soirin, maybe soirin, are you in fact going to be chayiv? That's where you have sumchus as halacha, mishum rameir, so li gamol shloisha kabin li chamar. So really, what's coming out is there's two ways to learn the Mishnah. The Mishnah began asoiches chamar lohavi ala chitin vavi ala soirin chayiv. So according to Abaya, the Gersa is the way we have it in the Mishnah. The nefech is kosher k'masoi. Volume matters just like weight. And just like if you add weight, you'll be chayv. If you add volume, you'll be chayv. So if you add a little bit of soyrin, even if the soyrin weighs less than the chitin, and you had agreed already to chitin, so weight-wise, you're going under the weight limit. It doesn't matter, but the volume matters just as much. That's the way Abaya learns the Mishnah. And the Mishnah then goes on to say that lesech chitin may be lesech soyrin potter. Meaning, if you didn't add anything, you didn't add weight, you didn't add volume, you're going to be potter. If you do add, you're chayef. For kama yosef amasoy, what's that number? So legom shloisha kabin lechamar, and it's all one halacha, it's all one hemshech, that if you add a so legom shloisha kabin lechamar, even though you're not equaling what you had originally agreed upon, that's only in weight, but in volume you are, and as long as it's 1/30th more, that's already enough to say that you're going to be chayef, despite the fact that it weighs more. Because nafach is kosher kemasoy. That's the way Abaye learned the Mishnah. Rav had a different Mishnah. Rav's Mishnah was Asoichas Chamer Lovel Achita Vavel Asoir, and you're going to be Chayev Mipnei Shanefach Kosho Limasoi. It's talking about not where you added a little bit, 1/30. You added a much more significant amount. You added it to the point where the Soirim now weighs exactly the amount as the Chitin. There's more volume in the Soirim than there is in the Chitin, and it's for that reason you're going to be Chayev. What are the next lines in the Mishnah? Lesech Chitin the heavy lesach soirin potter because you didn't add anything, that's okay. The moisef al masoi, if the arrangement was chitin and you brought chitin, the arrangement was soirin, you brought soirin, and you punked added chitin, you punked added soirin, so we give you a little bit of leeway. You don't say you added one strand of wheat more than you had agreed to, you're ready to be chayv. No, that's not the case. It already has to be a shear. What's the shear? But the solugomo shloisha kamel chamor is not the shear in a case where you replace the chitin for the soirin, because in that case you'll be potter, because the soirin is still going to weigh less than the chitin, and according to Rav, in that case you're going to be potter. Tashma b'raisa lovi lasa chitin lahavi sheish esrei soirin chayiv. If you brought sheish esrei soirin more, you're going to be chayiv. Hoshloisha's kamel pot sounds like it's already a significant shear. Yeah, I'm not going into the technicalities of the shear, but it sounds like it's a significant shear. Oh, it's a significant shear. So it's mashma like Rava, not like Abaye, because according to Abaye, as long as you add shloisha's kabin, take my Abaye b'mechikta. It's talking about where it was a shear, but it wasn't a heaping shear. So the point is, it's a shvacher shear. It really represents, if you do the math, shloisha's kabin, because shloisha's kabin is ready enough to be chayv. Tana rabbanon kav le'kasef. If somebody agrees as a worker that he is going to carry a kav, the halacha is, if you add on top of that, you're going to be chayev. Adriv la'ariva. An adriv, that's a shear, is considered too much for a small boat to carry. So if you have an adriv on it, and you're a soicher, or whatever it is, you're already going to the realm of being a mazik. Kur l'sfina, if it's an average-sized boat, the shear would be a kur, shleishas kav l'burni gudu. If it's a large boat, the shear would be 3 kavin. Amar mar kav l'kasev. And what's the methodology to this? The point is because 1/30th, that's the shear of when we say that you overdid it. So based on whatever was considered usual and customary at the time, this number would represent a third more. It sounds like if you hire somebody, let's say you have an eved or a soicher, an employee, and you put a kav l'kosev, so that's too much. If something happens to him, you're going to be chav. You a mazik him. Shaila's why? He's a bardas. Why can't he just take this load, get rid of it? And why should you, the employer, be chayev? Amar Abaye, Abaye said, "B'shachofte la'alta." Talking about the second you put it on, he fell. He didn't have a chance to get rid of it, and he was already damaged. Rav Amar Filu Tamei B'shachofte la'alta. It's not talking about where you fell. Lo Yitzricha Ela La'agri Yisera. The question is not where he was even genizik. Could be if some hezek happened, maybe in fact be potter because he should have gotten rid of it. You find this svara in other places. But what's talking about over here is, do you have to pay him more? What's usual and customary is a certain share. If you already go to the kav, at that point you're going to now have to pay him more. It's not a question of chayv l'mazik. It's more of a question of hilchas chiras. How much do you have to pay him? Ravashi amar, who suffer chulshu d'nakalei. You can't say that if you damage him in that case, he should have realized that it was too heavy and he should have unloaded. Because in his mind, he could always say that, I didn't think it was too heavy. I thought I'm a strong guy. I could carry it. I started feeling weak and faint. Maybe that's because he just wasn't feeling well. In his mind, he could always rationalize it that way. And it's for that reason you're not going to be. You're going to be chayv. Kur l'sfina. We said that a kur is is too much for a Sfina. Shloishes Kumarin, Leburni Gedoyah. For a very large ship, it would be three Kumarin. You see from here that if somebody buys a Sfina, Stam, he could assume that it has the capacity to carry 30 Kurin. Where do you see that? Because if the excess, too much, is one Kur, and too much represents 1/30, that means the norm would be 30 Kurin. L'may nafkemina, says the Gemara, l'mekach u'mempeh. Before we go right there, so we had a whole week of sugyas in Hasoicher Sa'umnin, a lot of difficult, but also somewhat halacha l'maisa the sugyas. So I just wanted to go back and speak out a little bit of raid on some of the halachas that we had during the course of the week. So some interesting halacha. So in the beginning, the very beginning of the parak, there was a machloikis, Rabbi Doisa and the Chachamim, regarding a poyel who took it upon himself to work for a balabayas. And the question is, could the balabayas back out during the terms of the arrangement? Could the poyel back out? So there was a machlokes regarding the poyel between Rabbi Doisa and the Chachamim. The Chachamim said, Yad poyel ala al yoyna. If the poyel wants at any point in time, he has a right to back out. Not only does he have a right to back out, you have to pay him for whatever work he did. So if he was a schir yoyim and he agreed to work a full day, and then at 1 o'clock in the afternoon he decided he had enough, you have to pay him hourly rate based on the amount of hours that he worked. Rav Doisa said, no, he can't. Yad poil ala tachtoina. And the nafkamina lalocha is, let's say you back out, and now the balabais has to hire new employees, and when he hires the new employees, he has to pay them more. He has a right to deduct that more that he's going to have to pay the new employees from the amount that he already stipulated with the original employee. That's yad poil ala tachtoina. So according to the Chachamim, yad poil ala yoin, according to Rav Doisa, yad poil ala tachtoina. We saw in the Gemara, that there was a distinction. Rav said it. In Rav Doisa, Rav said the halacha is like Rav Doisa. But in Rav Doisa, there was a distinction between a schir yoin and a kabla. A schir yoin is someone that gets paid hourly or daily or monthly. A kablon is someone that gets paid to do a particular job. When did Rav Doisa say, yat poil ala tachtoina, that the poil is not allowed to back out? That said Rav is a kablon. Someone that took upon himself to do a job, finish the job. You have no right to back out in the middle. And if you back out in the middle, if it's going to cost the balabayas money to finish the job, more money, he has a right to take it out of your paycheck. However, schir yoin, the halach is different. And the Gemara said a very interesting svara. The reason is, it's based on a pasuk in the end of Parashas Bahar, where the pasuk says, ki libnei Yisrael avodim. And being that libnei Yisrael avodim, avodayhem, v'loy avodim lavodim, a yid doesn't have a right to force someone somehow to become a slave. And in this case, if you're telling the poel that he's not allowed to back out, it's ki'ilu, he's your eved. So therefore the halacha is, he is going to be allowed to back out. Another caveat that we saw in the Gemara, that the only time it's ever true that the bala bias or the seichel bad is, if it's not a dover of it. There's no tangible hefset that's going to happen. But let's say by the poel backing out, there's going to be a real tangible hefset, that even if he's a schir yoyim, and even though there's a svara avodayhem, you can't cause your boss a real tangible hefset. You know, if later he tried hiring people and it cost him a little bit more money, that's something else. But if you're going to cause him a dover of it, you're going to walk away from the middle of the job and he's going to lose $10,000. That's not something you have a right to do. Not even under the fruma guise of kili b'nei Yisrael avodim. That's something that's usher. That's something you're not allowed to do. The halach in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Shin Lama Gimel, it's a festive Siman. That's where all these halachas are discussed. Sifkat and Gimel, Sifkat and Dalid, Sifkat and Hey, is like Rab Doisa. So we paskin like Rab Doisa that a poil is not allowed to be chayzer, yad poil ala tachtoina. Stating that, that's only if he's a kaplan. If he's a schir yoyim, he's allowed to, because kibli b'nei Yisrael avodim. And even by a schir yoyim, where he's allowed to, it's only if it's not a dover of. But if it's a dover of it, there you're not allowed to. The Ramah, in the middle of Sifkot and Hay, it's a long Ramah, says as follows. If somebody is a malamed, somebody hired a malamed to teach his children Torah, and he's chayzer in the middle of a contract that he had, mikri dover of it. Says the Ramah, it's considered a dover of it. So a malamed who was hired by a rebbe to teach children, and now he backs out and middle, he decides he's going to law school. So the halach is a davar of it. You can't do that because you have children that you took upon yourself to teach, and they are going to lose out as a result of you backing out. So even though there's no hefset mamon over here, but it is considered a davar of it. Says the shach, what's the reason? Malami nikra davar of it mitan shekol eis verega shatinek hoylech ubatol hupseidet aloy hadar. Because every second, every rega that a child could be learning and he's not learning, it's a pseida, it's a hefsid, the loy hoder, and you're not ever getting it back. Meaning it's a real dover of it. I mean that it's a real dover of it. The halacha is that you're not allowed to be chayis. Ulefize says the shach. What would be in a case, b'malamed, in maimel miyadach? So he decides that he's leaving, but he has his replacement. Someone else is going to come. He's going to take him place. That the halacha is that, okay, then it's not an issue. Or, says the shach, what if the malamid left? He doesn't have a replacement right now, but he left at a time where it's maybe possible for the father or the school to figure out a way to bring in another malamid. So if he left at a time where the children are anyways not learning, so there, even if he doesn't replace with malamid, there it's going to be okay. The shach, towards the end, brings from that goyis ashri. He says, "Malamid chiniska be'eshay malamde metsuyin yoyse meyachshav mikomakum leitzdarach atinak lizbata bekach rak davar muid." Let's say malamid backs out in a way where the children are not really going to have to lose out. So he speaks out this nakuda. He says, "If there's another malamid, it's not a davar of it, then it's going to be okay. If it's a situation where the kid that he backed out on is able to learn a little bit by himself, then it's also going to be okay." And then he says, "If it's at a time, but ba'usiz man." Where sometimes it's healthy for the children to stop learning a little bit. If it's during that time, then it's also okay. If it's during that time, then it's maybe going to be okay. So it's interesting. So the shach over here is talking about every second, every rega that a child doesn't learn, it's a double or other to the point that the malamed's not allowed to back out. But he gives you this little caveat. There are certain times where maybe it's okay that the children are not learning. So if you back out during that time, and by the time it's you're supposed to be learning again, there's another malamed, maybe it's going to be okay. The truth is that there's a halacha in Hilchas Melamdim. So it's a simen in Shulchan Aruch, simen Reish Memheh. Hilchas Melamdim, one simen in Yerideya, says the Mechaber, Yoishev u'melamdim kol hayoyim, Sivkot Nyud Aleph. A Rebbe is supposed to teach his Talmidim the entire day. V'k'tzas me'alayla, a little bit at night. G'dei l'chan chambum v'diyem v'alayla. V'gisa b'yoyimam v'alayla, kavata itim b'atayra, you do the Marsha. The Marsha says, why kavata itim loshin rabin? It should say, Kavato eis l'atayra. So the Marsha says, because the first question that they ask someone is not going to be, did you learn twice? Bayoim ubalayla. So someone who's kaveya bayoim, but not by layla, or balayla, not bayoim, he's not yoitza. That's not kviyas itim batayra. Kviyas itim batayra is kavato itim batayra. It's the mashah, and he says, v'gisa bayoim mam v'layla. But either way, so he's supposed to teach him to learn Torah bayoim, ubalayla. Lo yivatu atinekis klal. The next halacha, you should not be mevatu to tinekis at all. Chutz me'erev Shabbos, ve'erev yontif b'soif hayoim. So the only time you're allowed to take a breather is erev Shabbos. And Erev Yontif, B'Soif Hayoyim. Towards the end of the day, the Goyin says, why B'Soif Hayoyim? She'oz Man Sudar, K'mesh Vuv, B'Resh Brachas. That has to do with the beginning of Masechtas Brachas. That's when they used to make it early Shabbos. So B'Soif Hayoyim, it's already Shabbos. At that point, you're allowed back. But otherwise, old school. You're supposed to be learning constantly. You're not even supposed to take a break. So it's very interesting. Stating that, the Peschei Tshuva already is Miramus Tos, the concept of Bein Azmanim. Because the Peschei Tshuva says that when somebody hires a Rebbe for a year, so he's not allowed to back out. He's a Shechir Yoyim, it's a Dover Ovid, that's the Halacha Pesuk of the Ramah. So what does a year mean in Rebbe terms? Says the Peschei Tshuva, you know what a year means? There's two Zmanim. There's the winter's man and there's the summer's man. So the summer's man starts with Chodesh Cheshvin, and the winter's man, he says, starts. The winter's man starts with Chodesh Cheshvin, and the summer's starts Rosh Chodesh Iyar. So he doesn't give you a few days for Chavrusa Tovo, but either way, that's what he says. As I state the Peschei Tshuva, so already he's mentioning something about Bein Hazmanim. So just to lighten it up a little bit, so when we talk about Bein Hazmanim, so just two things. Number one, so today to mention a Gemara, a well-known Gemara, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara over there brings a whole bunch of different Amiram who gave different reasons for why the Beis Hamikdash was Charev. We mean the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash. If you remember when we learned Eilu Metzias, we spoke out, it's Mavur and Teisvis, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, and Bava Metziah, that it's talking about Churban Vayashedi. But regardless, we're talking about Churban Beis HaMikdash. So one man, Domer, said, Omer Rav Amnuna, Loi Charva Yerushalayim, Elabashvul Shabitlu Batu Noikosh Beis Rabba. You know why Yerushalayim was destroyed? Because they were Mavato, the children weren't learning. So you see the way the Tinoikosh Beis Rabba are supposed to be learning. You see, they're supposed to be learning the day and at night. That's something that they were mevatel. If you look in the Marsha says, Kiyodua, that all the things that are mentioned in that Gemara, he sees Shchiach in his time. So the Gemara gives a whole litany of things that the Yidden at the time were Nichsholin, and he says they're all still going on. So with regards to this one, what we're talking about now, he says, Vihine, Roiva Avoinos, Ukemat Kulam, Heim Bidoir Hazeh, you still find today. He says, Bittul Tinaikishal Beis Rabbim, Hu Matze Bechol Kehila. He says, every Kehila has that. Gama Bachrim, Bevatlin, Roiva Yomim, Bebein Azmanim, Beholchim, Berechoivois, Bebitula, Vetiula. They're taking trips. They have real Bein Azmanim, what itineraries, they have it all planned out. Says the Marshal, that's wrong. He said, because you see that was Chorva Yerushalayim. It's Bein Azmanim. That's what he's focusing on. It's interesting. He said, Bein Azmanim, I thought you let it take a break. That's what we're worried about. Chorva Yerushalayim was because they were Mevatel Bein Azmanim? I would think it's because a second Seder in the middle of Chodesh Shvat, they spent in the coffee room. That's not what we're talking about. The Mashal says Bein Azmanim was the issue. See, even Bein Azmanim is something that's not so. I mean, Erev Yontif goes right into Bein Azmanim, right? Which Yontif are we talking about? Unless it means Shavuos. But Sukkot is Beinah, smack in the middle of Beinah's Manim. And Pesach is the Chzichim smack. It's like 6 weeks into Beinah's Manim. So that's for sure into Beinah's Manim. So what exactly? So you see that even Beinah's Manim, there's a little bit of a sensitivity. It's interesting. We've spoken out in the past with Yaakov Emden in the city Yavetz, where he says that on Shabbos, when a person sits down and learns, so he should learn Leichte Zachen. He should learn lighter based on a Gemara Gittin, about Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, based on a Gemara in Masechtas Nedarim, in terms of the way they used to teach children. But Rabbi Yaakov Emden says a fascinating nusach. He says that just like we know, Shlo Yehei Diburcha B'Shabbos Ki Diburcha B'Chol, V'Yelo Yehei Hiluchach B'Shabbos Ki Hiluchach B'Chol, so too says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Lo Yehei Limudach B'Shabbos Ki Limudach B'Chol. He's supposed to learn differently. He's supposed to learn lighter. And he says someone that learns a heavy limud on Shabbos, he says, L'shoino itself, it's maybe even Chil Shabbos, because the Karas L'Shabbos learning, you have to learn more B'tainot. So he says, learn Divrei Haggadah, learn Midrashim, learn Kabbalah, but something that's going to be a little bit lighter, but not something that's going to be so heavy. But I'll tell you another interesting with Yaakov Emden regarding this note, and that is, it's a fascinating diatribe that Rabbi Yaakov Emden gave to his generation. And he seems to be talking to his family, his children, and his grandchildren, and he tells them about how careful they have to be not to go b'chukai sagayim. Either way, toich dvarav, he says as follows, yishomru l'nafshei seichem in aschoik. You have to be careful when it comes to schoik, right, playing games. Rabim hushchasu boy ka'ivrei chayk. A lot of people were affected by that, as if they were ivrei chayk, as if they did real averis. Ach dover echad ani meni alochem. A little bit I'll give you, the teal, just so that you can relax a little bit. When you feel like you need a little bit of break. So I'm going to throw you a bone. What's the bone? Chess. You can play a little bit of chess. Without money. Rack, no point spreads. But only if you want to sharpen your mind a little bit, that's something that's okay. You shouldn't spend more than 1 hour. Not more than that. But if you can already spend more than that, it's not going to be okay. This is a little bit in Yonah Deyoyma, because we have Nittol Nacht that's coming up. And that they used to say, the Heilige Tzadikin used to spiel Shach on Nittol. So it's funny, because I was thinking, I remember hearing, and again, this is something I remember from a long time ago, that the Chassam Sofer used to play chess on Nittol Nacht. But it's a mistake. The Chassam Sofer didn't spiel chess on Nittol Nacht, and I'll prove it to you. Unless maybe he needed a teal punkt on Nittol Nacht based on this Rabbi Yaakov Emden. But that was not his minhag when it came to Nittol. And that is because Chassam Sofer Teshuva addresses, what's this idea that Heilige Yidden don't learn Torah on Nittol, right? It's a minhag and a big part of, they say they once asked the Geri Rebbe, that how come you don't keep Nittol Sveika de Yoyma? So Nittol, you should keep 2 days. He said, you do, because it says in Tazveni Yoyim, Mayim Azveka. There is a Zveka de Yoyim. But either way, so why don't we learn? So the Chassam Sofer said something unbelievable. Chassam Sofer said, because the Akum, the Umei Sa'olam, on their Nittol Nacht, that's their holy day, so they would go to the church and they would prava, they would do their avoida, whatever exactly they would do. So the Chacham felt that if the Yid is also going to be doing that, if the Yid is not going to be learning, listen to this, if the Yid is not going to be learning, then it's not going to look good. Because here, all the Goyim are serving their deity, and the Yidin are all sleeping. They're not. So the Chachamim said that the Yid should stay up the whole night learning. You understand what Nittol is according to the Chassam Sofer? You're supposed to say, I thought you're not supposed to learn. Says the Chassam Sofer, we don't learn until Chatzos. That's what we do. Till Chatzos we don't learn. We start learning from Chatzos on. So says the Chassam Sofer, Why? He said, because if you would stay up the whole night learning, like Leil Shavuos, then it would mamish look like you're going Mechukas HaGoyim. Now it doesn't look good already. So on the one hand, you don't want this kitrig. But then again, you also don't want a situation where it looks like you're acting exactly like them. So you know what we do? We come up with this compromise. What we do is, it says the Chassam Sofer, go to sleep until Chatzos. Chassam Sofer says, go to sleep until Chatzos, wake up Chatzos, have frisha koiches, stay up the whole night learning. You're not going to look like the goyim because you didn't stay up the whole night, but then again, there's going to be no kitrig because at the very least, from Chatzos, you're going to be learning Torah, but either way, that's what it's in a tshuva. The Chassam Sofer says, sleep until, he doesn't say, play nip, kit, and kitlach and this, what, that's what he says. You're supposed to learn until Chatzos, I'm supposed to sleep until Chatzos, then you're supposed to go. He brings from his Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler, that Rav Nosson Adler said that the reason we don't learn nitl nach, listen to this, he says it's for the same reason we don't learn on Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av, we're about velos, we're mourning, and because of our melos, we can't learn Torah, because Torah is p'kudei Hashem Yishar Masam Chilev. So he said that his grace, the Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler, said that that was the reason we didn't learn nitl, because nitl yidden were mourning, that was the reason not to. Either way, something is one other interesting piece of raid regarding this, and that is that another interesting halacha in Shin Lamed Gimel, Sifkat and Gimel, we said that there's a halacha, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, avodai heim v'loy avodim la'avodim. Says the Ramah, u'mehai taima osa l'poil, afilu melamed o'sofer, lahaskir atzmai liyais bebeis balabayis bekeva, shloy shashonim. You're not allowed to allow yourself to be hired to work for somebody for 3 years. That's the shir. Up to 3 years is okay, but for 3 years you're already not allowed to. And the Gra and the Shach both bring that the makar to this is a pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya, Perek Yud Zayin. The pasuk says, "Zeh hadavar shedibar Hashem al Moav Meyaz." The pasuk is talking about the destruction that's going to happen in the future to Moav. And the pasuk says, "Va'ata dibar Hashem lemer b'sholosh shanim." In 3 years from now, kishnei socher, like the years of a socher, I'm going to destroy Moav. So you see that a socher works for 3 years. Being that a socher works for 3 years, and there's an idea of Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, you're not allowed to be in heaven. 3 year contracts on the max. You're not allowed to do, or less than 3 years. You can't have a 3 year contract. Says the Goyen, that the truth is he thinks he's a toy cipher in the Lashon HaShulchan Aruch. Because the Shulchan Aruch says that you're not allowed to hire yourself for 3 years. And it's based on this pasuk in Yeshaya Lechura that the socher works for 3 years. Now, Socher is not an Eved, a Socher is an employee. So if the Socher goes for 3 years, so 3 years is okay. It's more than 3 years. So it says the Gra, it's a Dakus, but the right Nusach, it's a Nafkimina Lalocha. You are allowed to sign a 3 year contract. I mean, if you read the Ramah, it sounds like 3 year contracts are not okay. It says no. The Makar is based on the fact that 3 years is a Socher. More than 3 years, you're going in to the idea of Kili b'nei Yisrael la vodim. So it's really more than 3 years that's going to be an issue. So that's the proper girsa. So it's just one very interesting thing. The Gra and the Shach, Shneim Nischab Nuladover Echad, they both say the same thing. With this you can understand a Gemara that we mentioned so many times. Remember the Gemara where it's talking about you have to be done a person with kavzchus, misach the Shabbos, takchufs chav zayin amad beis. And it tells a story that there was a yid that went down to the darim and he worked for his employer for a very long time and he didn't get paid and then he left, pepache nefesh, and he came back to him and the employee was Rabbi Akiva and the employee was Rabbi Eliezer Agadol. Right, we've mentioned this Gemara many times. If you look in the Gemara over there says just one piece that when you see the whole picture, you pick up on how every nuance in Shas is important. It says over there he worked for him. How long did he work for him for? Shalosh Shanim, says the guy, and you know why Shalosh Shanim? It's based on this Ramah. It's a halacha, because he wasn't allowed to work for more than 3 years. Now we know it was Rabbi Akiva. But the point is that he wasn't allowed to work for more. Being that he wasn't allowed to work for more, that's why you have Shalosh Shanim. We'll just conclude with one Dvar Agadah. So you have over here this pasuk, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, avodaihim. There's a Gemara in Mesechtes Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that b'shosh hippol nimrod derashas Avram Avinu tech kifshan ha'esh, when Nimrod threw Avram Avinu into the kifshan ha'esh, Amar Gavriel ofnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono shel Olam, Eired v'atzanim v'atzlat tzadik b'kifshan. Gavriel is the one that saved Hananiah mishal Azariah. He said, "I'm going to go. Let me go save Avram Avinu from the kifshan ha'esh." Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Ani yachid ba'ilami. I'm a yachid in my world. V'hu yachid ba'ilamai. And Avram Avinu is a yachid in his world. Noel the yachid lahatzlas ha'yachid. The yachid is going to go save the yachid. Unbelievable Gemara. Gavriel, his job would have been to save Avram Avinu. But Hashem said, I want to save him. Because I'm a yachid and he's a yachid. Avram Avinu was the epitome of a yachid. Avram was called Avram Ivri. Chazal say, because kol ha'ilam be'ivra echad, va'avram be'ivra asheni. The whole world was on one side, And Avram Avinu was on the other side. Avram was a yachid. He was a lonely man. It was very lonely being Avram. We spoke out the Chassam Sofer in the beginning of the week that Avram in Ur Kasdim, he had no success, and that's why he had nothing going on. He had no talmidim. It was very, very difficult for him. Avram was lonely. Avram was a yachid. Imagine, you're the only one who sees the truth, and you're trying to explain it to your own parents and to your own family, and they want to kill you. Nobody's accepting it. Avram was a yachid. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Avram, you're in good company. You're not lonely, because I'm also a yachid. And no yachid lahatzlas a yachid. That when a person is a yachid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a special korva to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I was thinking that Klal Yisrael, we're yachidim, we're goyachid ba'aretz. And Jews very often find themselves in situations where we feel alone. In the United Nations, in world politics. The point is, the yid is always, he's a yachid. He's a yachid by lamai. We're ivrim. Ivrim is miloshin Avram ha-ivri. But this Gemara, I think, is a tremendous nechama. We're goyechid ba'aretz, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also yachid. Ata echad v'shimcha echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is echad. We're the goyechid ba'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to save us. So just one chida. I saw the pasuk said this pasuk. Libnei Yisrael avodah avodah heim asher tzeisi yoisem eretz Yisrael ani Hashem alikeichem. That's the pasuk we just darshan two halachas from. Number one, a schir yom is allowed to back out in the middle of the day because avodah. You know, you're not. You can't. You only have it to Hashem. And number two, you can't rent yourself. You can't hire yourself for more than no 4-year contracts. Maybe options, but a 3-year contract. Zehu. Why? Based on this halacha, avodai hey, says the kedah. The next pasuk. Next pasuk is no avodah zara. What's the hemshich? The next pasuk is Noah Voidah Zara says the Chida. Because Kilibin Israel Avodim Asher Hoitzeisi Oysam Yeretz Mitzrayim. Why Hoitzeisi say Chazal Ani? Ani Veloy Malach, Ani Veloy Sheikh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself saved Klai Yisrael from Mitzrayim. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself saved Avram Avinu from the Kivshan Eish. Why did Hashem save Avram from the Kivshan Eish? Because Klai Yisrael, because Avram Avinu was a Yachid. What do you mean he was a Yachid? He was married in the Avodah Zara. He accepted upon him. Self, if Klal Yisrael is going to act like that yachid, where there's going to be no Avodah Zarah, they're ready to jump into the Kivshan Ha'esh for no Alilim, then they're going to have this relationship with Hashem, where Hashem says, Ani yachid, and Klal Yisrael, Agayechad Ba'aretz, Noel yachid, Lahatzalas Ayachid. So that's the Hemshech. Asher Tzisi Oysam Yeretz, when Hashem said, I'm going to put my right foot forward, Kaviyachal. I'm willing to set the tone for this relationship. I'm going to go myself into the proverbial Kivshan Ha'esh. And I'm going to take you out of the Kura Barzel, out of Mitzrayim, myself, as a yachid. But here's the deal. The deal is you have to remain a yachid. You have to be the yachid like Avram Avinu was. You have to be willing to be yachid by Ilami, to be married. The world can go mad, they can go crazy, and things that are important to them doesn't necessarily have to be important to you. And they can mock you, and they can ridicule you, they can make you wear yellow stars, it doesn't matter. Klai Yisrael has to always remain a yachid. And as long as Klai Yisrael is a yachid, at the end of the day, we'll be zeicha to know the yachid. L'hatzol es a yachid.